A Shishkin Productions podcast.
I know it's late and I took all year, but you can stop complaining because I'm finally here.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel Podcast. Late as ever.
All right. Well, look, the summer of sizzle is slowly coming to an end, and you know it's summer vacation at the very end.
Summer vacation's very end. Yeah. The fall of sizzle is coming up.
Oh God!
Whoa!
Oh,
you might have just heard we have a special guest on the show.
Hello.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Normally, I don't allow this, but for you, very special
occasion.
Oh,
well, what's up, everybody? It's great to be back. It's been a while. It's Amy.
It's Amy. Amy's back.
Amy's back. And I usually might have something special.
Yeah, when Amy comes on, there's
the episode might be late, but it's for good reason. We have a very special episode.
Yeah, this one's good stuff. So before we get into it, Chris, give the plugs real quick, and then we'll start.
Oh, we are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. Send us an email. We are sizzlereelgangthewebsite.com. It's new. It's improved. And most importantly, we have the Sizzle Reel
Cold Line.
Oh,
my God. It's so cold.
That is 332-333-4361.
Call in, text in, do what you got to do. Contribute to the show, because if you don't,
the sizzle will fizzle.
Yeah, the sizzle might fizzle. We might stop contributing to the show. Chris, what have you been up to?
Work-wise, not a lot.
What about life-wise?
Life-wise, I've just been living it up. I had a wedding this weekend. It was upstate, and I had to help set it up. It was like at a big property, and we had to set up the chairs and all that. So we went.
They put them to work.
Yeah. Well, it worked out because we got to stay on the property for free. So that was nice. And so we went up on Friday, and we got back this morning. I'm a little bit tired.
You're toasted.
Yeah.
I went to the Shops of NYC Film Festival. Friends of the show, Phil, he runs a thing called Artifact Films. Mm-hmm. Rented gear from him before, and he had a film that was in this thing, Shops of NYC Film Festival.
Very cool.
About Kato Sake Works.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
it was good. It was really, really good.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
Yeah, so you know what? I'll plug it right now. On October 1st is the grand opening of their new tap room. It's been a soft launch, but grand opening will be October 1st. It's on off Troutman, and it's off the Jefferson L stop. And
I love
it's,
that.
Gonna be World Sake Day that day.
October 1st. Oh man, so I'm putting that in my calendar.
Yeah, there'll be a grand opening, a music thing, and I think they'll be screening this little short. So it'll be pretty good stuff.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome.
Also went to a music video premiere, which I thought it was gonna be a music video. It was before a show at Our Wicked Lady. It was not a music video. It was a 20-minute short starring one of the guy from the band.
Filmed
part of it here, because I gave them Tyler was like, hey, they need an office to film, and I was like, yeah, you can film here, whatever. And I didn't realize it was that, but I went and saw it, and I was like, oh, this is cool.
That's
it, was
dope.
Very DIY. So going to both of those, I was like, damn, you don't actually have to be good at making shit, you just have to make shit. That's really important part.
Because
at Shops of NYC, so many of those were just like, the films were not good. Phil's was incredible, but a lot of the other films were hard cuts on the sounds, no fades, just weird mixed levels.
I would say that the sizzle reel is proof of concept that you don't have to be good at it. You just have to make it.
You got to keep doing it.
Yep.
And quick update on the Tree Fort Duck. It will be playing, if you're in Seattle, Friday, September 22nd at Local Sightings Film Festival. If you're in Seattle, go. The tickets are pretty cheap. Then the next Friday, it will be in Albuquerque, New Mexico at Albuquerque Film Music Experience, Friday, September 29th. Get tickets if you're in Albuquerque. Go check it out. It's making the rounds, finally.
It's exciting.
It's been a while.
It is exciting. Wow.
Minnesota premiere, Seattle premiere, all the different premieres.
Yeah, I know. And we got stuff coming up. We got stuff coming up with it, too. It'll be, I can't say where it's going to be, but technically I'm not allowed to say it until a certain time.
Gotcha.
But it will be, I think I can say it'll be in Tacoma.
It'll
be in Tacoma the next week after that.
Nice.
And then later that month, it'll be somewhere else. Amy, what have you been up to?
I've been kind of in a little bit of a rest period. The end of summer was really wild.
Like a steak.
A little bit. Yeah. I'm just off the grill.
Yeah, you gotta let it rest.
Gotta let it rest.
But actually, my dad was in town this past weekend. And so we Walked around a little bit. Went to Governor's Island for the first time, which was so fun.
Yeah.
Can't believe I'd never been. It's so worth it. I'm like ashamed that I've never been because I have friends that have done like artist residencies out there and been involved in the art scene, and I've never made it out. And I've lived here 17 years. But
does the governor live there? Why is it called that? Does Kathy Hochul live there?
No.
She's not there anymore.
You know, the governor never actually lived there. I think not the lieutenant governor. Maybe what is now like the lieutenant governor, I think, did live there at some point, or they had a house there. But it was a military base. I didn't know that. Way back in the day. There's actually like a little castle, like a fort thing that you can walk through.
Fort J?
Fort J.
Does anybody actually live there, or is it just purely a park?
I think park rangers used to live there. I'm assuming they still do because part of it is monitored by the National Park System.
I would love to rent an apartment on Governor's Island.
Don't say that because that's probably the next step.
Like
the demise of the island is I feel like it's not going to be long before that shit is like overdeveloped and it's going to be disgusting.
I'm into it.
But anyway, that's what I've been up to.
That's what's up. All right, let's get into all this shit because we have a very special game that we need to get to, but there's a lot of stuff on this rundown. The first thing, you know, if you've been anywhere near the fucking news at all, you'd know Drew Barrymore and Bill Maher both were like, fuck it, we're bringing our shows back. We don't care about the strike. And as of this record, they have both fully backpedaled. And now they're both like, okay, fine. We're not going
to
do it.
Yeah. Well, and former guest of the show, our friend Brian, he used to work on the Drew Barrymore show, didn't he?
And he's good friends with Bill Maher.
But I don't want to get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure he said something along the lines of like he wasn't a writer on that show, but he did end up writing a decent amount of stuff because they would, you know, they just give you a different title and
you're a producer.
Exactly. Mm. But
that's how they get around all of it. You know, a lot of producers produce quotes, but they're actually writing.
Yep.
But it is what it is. But yeah, basically, I believe what happened with Drew was she was like, we're coming back. And everyone was like, well, fuck you. That's lame. And then she doubled down and was like, no, like the reason we're doing this is because it's like a lot of other jobs at stake. And then I think it was actually maybe today or just recently in the last couple of days, she was like, OK, fine.
It was either Saturday or Sunday that she.
Yeah. So
went back and
good. I mean, it's good. I'm glad that they're actually, pausing the show. It makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I get a little bit frustrated when these hosts are like, you know, there's a lot of other jobs on the line here. And they're not wrong because there are people who aren't writers or actors who can't work right now because of the strikes. But this is from the internet, so you never know how much is true. But both Drew Barrymore and Bill Maher make about $10 million a year on these shows. Like, you guys can probably afford to pay your people for a few months.
Right.
You just don't want to.
That's such a shitty argument. And it's always that, right? And it's always the people that are making the most money.
I will say what I thought was funny about the Bill Maher thing was like when he was like, yeah, we're bringing it back, but we're not going to do any of the scripted segments. We're just going to do conversations. And everyone was like, well, you're in the Writers Guild. So like, how is this going to work? And when Bill Maher said that he's going to, you know, not come back yet, he said the decision to come back was made when it seemed like there was nothing happening in the negotiations. And now they've agreed to come back to the table later this week. So he's like, okay, well, now we're back to being on pause. And it's like, okay, Bill, that's
very so
convenient,
lame.
Very convenient. But hey, good. I mean, at the end of the day, the fact that they're both not coming back, I think, is a good.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back because for the 2007 strike, the late night shows went on, right?
Yeah, Conan spun his ring.
Yeah. but they found ways to get around it without the writers, and there didn't seem to be like the same backlash.
Yeah.
For them continuing to
do
the show.
I think because the reason that like Conan specifically did the show as a point to like prove that they need the writers. He was like, okay, cool. Well, we're still going to go on and it's going to be really bad.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I do remember there were some shows that did that.
I think he would just sit there and banter with Andy. And literally that's where like the spinning the ring thing came from.
Yeah.
He would just spin the ring and they'd like, wait, they'd try to set a record for how long before it fell and stuff like that.
Golden age of late night.
Yeah. But that's something we were just talking about earlier. I was like, man, I hate to be a nihilist. I think all of late night TV is basically going to be dead after the strike, though. I don't see it coming back.
I just like, are there any late night hosts that you feel like you need to tune into? Like,
I have not tuned into really any type of talk show, whether it's late night or daytime, and I can't even tell you.
Yeah, it's,
I listen to talk shows every day, but they're podcasts.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, my experience with late night shows, talk shows over the past 5 or 10 years is I get the New York Times, the Daily, whatever they call it, the little email. And there's always one line at the bottom that says the late night host debated Trump or, you know, whatever, like just a quick little hit. And I'm like, oh, OK, that's great. Why is this in here? Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know, like, who's watching these shows. I did hear the other day, though, I was listening to NPR because I was in the car, and that's the only place I actually listen to NPR. So I'm never getting like the full show. I'm only getting snippets, but they were talking about the strike and talking specifically about the Drew Barrymore show and the Bill Maher show. And there, I guess there were people claiming, and this should not be a surprise, but like that Bill Maher was like their news source. And they're like, that's so problematic because he's not a journalist. No. Like, you shouldn't be getting your news from a late night talk show. Like, that's the problem right there.
I mean, a lot of people get their news so, from not of news course, sources.
I mean, even if you watch an actual news source, it might still not be.
Yeah,
but it just kind of made me wonder, like, who is the audience for these shows? Is it like, I don't, like, who's watching late night TV?
I used to, like, from age like 18 to 24, something like that, I would watch those late night shows every night. Like, I loved Conan. And then I guess that's around the time Jimmy Fallon got his show. And I remember watching the first few episodes. They weren't very good, but I still watched them and I enjoyed them.
I don't remember
them.
Watching them as an adult, like when I was a kid with my parents, but I don't, I guess
I liked
them.
I always liked the monologue.
I wanted to work on them as a writer.
Yeah.
But I think that those shows
well,
are...
Well, you worked or you interned at a late night show once.
Yeah, the Craig Ferguson one. But I think that those shows aren't coming back, and it's a bummer. And it, but it's not like... I'm not happy that they're not coming back, but I understand if they don't.
Yeah.
Because that's just how, like, entertainment goes. You don't have... It's not like the same type of thing is popular forever. It's not like that. Like, things come and things go. And it's a bummer because... That's just how time is. Things change.
I mean, things are media is shifting, and the way we consume
it always
shifting.
It's always shifting. It's like, you know, it's like in 1880, they weren't into the same shit as they were into in 1940. Like,
of
it's not,
not
the same, you know. That's why, how are we expecting that late night TV shows, which are, I guess, popular, you know, whatever, Carson, whatever. But I think like Letterman's like the golden age of late night, the late 90s into the 2000s.
Letterman and Leno. And
but again, so like media was different. We didn't really
that to
have
still
the
be popular
internet.
30, 40 years from now.
Well, it's like, that's it's really not. And this Bill Maher article from Variety kind of talks about it. And they say in 2018, 7 late night programs, they list them, I'm not going to, drew more than $698 million in advertising in 2018. And last year in 2022, that total was only $412 million, which is a 41% drop over 5 years. So they're not profitable in the same way they once were. And obviously, you know, there's a pandemic in between all that. But, you know, society's just kind of changing.
Things
change. We don't need to wait until 10:37 at night to learn about the day anymore.
Right, right. And it's like it used to be a routine watch for people to kind of wind down their day. Now it's like you can wind down your day on your phone. Like, you can just watch it.
Yeah, we're
want.
Getting bombarded with information.
Yeah, we have so many more options.
What do they call it? They call it like scheduled viewing or some shit. Not routine viewing, appointment. I don't know. It's like where, you know, like, okay, I need to be available Tuesday at 9 to watch this thing.
Appointment television.
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. So whatever. I mean, I'm glad it doesn't exist. It just is weird how it's about to. How shit's about to hit the fan and entertainment's going to change forever. Yeah. I feel the worst for the people who are like maybe in their 50s and shit, who are like writers who are like, fuck, man, like I was like a career writer and now everything's different.
Yeah, what do we do?
What do we do for the next however many years till we can retire? Or can we even retire at this? You know what I mean? So it's going to be weird.
Our generation won't retire.
Yeah. Amy, you have the celebrity auction on here.
Oh, yeah. I was asking y'all earlier if you had heard about this Union Solidarity Coalition auction benefit, because, and the reason why I brought it up was I kept seeing, you know, screenshots of the various offerings that are up for auction, and I when I first saw them, I thought it was like a joke. And then I realized this is actually real. But it's a benefits charity auction that I guess this organization called the Union Solidarity Collective, it's a group of writers and directors, they came together to kind of figure out a way to help crew members who are maybe really, really struggling.
Mm-hmm. It says net proceeds benefit the crew healthcare fund.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just, it's on eBay. So you can look it up.
You can bid on a variety of things.
Right. A lot of them are not, I mean.
What stood out the most to you so far on these listings?
Oh, man.
For me, it was the Bob and David. Well, Bob Odenkirk and David Cross will join you for dinner. Yep. And of course, that's the one that's most expensive, which is so annoying.
But the New York Times wrote an article about it. And the headline, or like the sub headline, is Lena Dunham will paint a mural in your home. Adam Scott will walk your dog. Natasha Lyonne will help you finish the Sunday crossword. So a lot of these offerings are not at all related to what these celebrities or writers or famous people mm-hmm. do. And some of it's cool. Some of it's actually like memorabilia.
Like as of this record, Natasha Lyonne helping you solve the New York Times crossword puzzle is at $6,100. That's what the highest bid is. So it's like, it's an auction on experiences with celebrities, or some of them are memorabilia, like like a fedora owned and signed by the legendary Tom Waits. If you're out there listening, I'm curious, call in 332-333-4361. Let us know, what's the most you would pay to have Lena Dunham paint a mural in your home? Or would you need to be paid to have that experience happen?
I would say, Lena, get out of here. It's like an infestation.
I want this watercolor portrait of your dog by John Lithgow. That sounds pretty
That's
cool.
That's really cool.
Now, there's one that I have a small issue with, and it's the second highest value right now. It's the cast of Bob's Burgers will sing a song written just for you. Who's writing it? Aren't they on strike?
That's a good point. Yeah, they
shouldn't be allowed to write. Very, very interesting. Well, one thing, there were a couple of these 20 minutes with, you know, so and so. Though I think the one with the current highest bid is 20 minutes and 20 questions with filmmaker and actress Maggie Gyllenhaal. I don't think 20 minutes is enough time to ask 20 questions. No. So I feel like you're kind of not getting good value there.
What if you ask her to promote her upcoming projects?
Yeah, that would be wild. Hey, Mags, what if you turn it in? Can you turn it into like a podcast segment? You're like, hey, we just paid $2,000 to get Sarah Silverman for 20 minutes on
Maybe.
Sizzle Reel.
Consider it.
Sarah Sizzle Reel. That's what they should call
Ooh.
Her. Now, Sarah Silverman is also a beast. You know, she was on a Mr. Show. She was a Mr. Show writer back in the day.
I do like this one. Rosemary DeWitt and Ron Livingston relationship advice squabble over Zoom.
What? That's pretty good.
That sounds like it would be funny.
It's interesting. It's very dystopian in a way, but it's cool.
Well, I think my initial thought after I realized that this is actually a real thing that's happening, it's so upsetting that this is something that has to happen. Like that people need celebrities to do auctions so they can pay their health care.
No, people need the fucking studios to like actually, and the CEOs not to take gigantic fucking salaries and to take giant chunks of the money and actually treat their workers fairly. But
that's why I'm saying the fact that this has to exist is so fucked up.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's messed up, and
it's
like,
why is it coming to this? Like, this is such bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, why is this a thing? You know, we're talking about it, but you're right. It shouldn't be a thing because this should just not be happening.
Yeah. You know, it's the strike is going to cause a lot of shows, I think, to come to an end prematurely. It's going to cause a lot of things to just not come back. Things will just get forgotten. One of these things that might have just ended weirdly, I don't know if it's because of the strike, but I can only imagine that is somehow involved, is Winning Time, the Lakers show. Winning Time, the rise of the Lakers dynasty. It came to a very weird finale where basically the Lakers in the 80s, right? They were a dynasty. Mm-hmm. They won, I believe, in 80, maybe 82. And then they won in 85, 86, and like 88 or something. I don't know. Either way.
They won in 80, 82, 85, 87, 88.
Okay, so I got one wrong. So 87 instead of 86. This show just ended. It was the series finale in 84 after they lost to the Celtics in the finals. in reality, so this show was supposed to be about the Lakers dynasty of the 80s, and they just ended it in 1984. They were about to go to the finals in 85, 87, and 88. So the next three of the 4 years were supposed to be like where the dynasty really gets built. The Showtime Lakers happen. And now it's like, wait, the show is over with them losing to the Celtics in 84.
It doesn't make any sense.
I did watch the first season, and I have not started the second season. I was planning to wait till it was finished and then watch it. And now apparently it seems like one of those situations where it gets canceled before it was really over.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't supposed to end this way, but they had to just end it. And that's such a bummer. And I wonder why, because the show clearly has a lot of money behind it. A lot of big names.
Yeah.
I think that I'm guessing that the numbers just weren't good enough for them to justify it anymore. It's a little bit stupid, and it does sound like a situation where they had already built the story arc for season two, and then they got word like at the last minute that they were getting canceled, and they wanted to find a nice way to button it up. Like, I guess it ends with like Chiron's on the screen telling you what happens, and it's like, well,
that's stupid.
Yeah, then we could have skipped the entire series if you were just gonna do that.
Yeah, because we could have just gone on Wikipedia and like read about.
I would like, rather them have just ended it and like naturally where that ends in that season, and not made it like a finale. It just
ended.
Yeah, just let it exist. Yeah.
This is one of the first casualties of HBO just going downhill.
It might
because
be.
I feel like if this was made when HBO was still HBO, they would probably respect the craft a little bit more and be like, okay, guys, you know, the numbers aren't there. We're going to give you one more season, but you got to wrap everything up in the season, you know, or something like that. But just, yeah, I don't know. Very weird. I would be bummed if I was a writer on that show, or if I was just involved with that show. I'd be like, damn, that sucks.
For anyone who was watching and they're a little bit upset that they're not going to get to finish, I highly recommend the 30 for 30 that ESPN did, I think, in 2017. It's called Best of Enemies, I think, and it's about the Celtics-Lakers rivalry. Yeah. I think it's narrated by like Marky Mark and
Ice Cube. Ice Cube,
yeah. It's like 4 or 5 hours, but it is awesome.
Next thing I have in the rundown here is kind of about TikTok and about Wes Anderson. So he did an interview with Deadline, and I know for a while there was a trend that was on TikTok where people were doing like Wes Anderson style stuff. And I thought it was really funny because just the interview is not about that. It's about his new movie, but like they still asked him about it. They were like, you know, what do you think of the people making TikToks in your style? Are you flattered? And he said, I've never watched them because I don't want... Not that it's a criticism of somebody's thing they've made. It's like, do you really want to see somebody doing you? And I don't know. I thought that was interesting. He's like, do I really want to see an imitation of someone trying to do my style? And it'll, I guess the Deadline person's like, it makes you self-conscious. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't take it as him being self-conscious. Like, to me, it kind of seems like he was being a bit arrogant. Kind of like.
I kind of got that too.
Like. Yeah. How almost like he's an, I think that would be, what do they say? Imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually really liked that trend. I thought it allowed people to like be really creative in a visually pleasing way.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, in this article, he says he's self-conscious about it. He says, is that what I do? He says, so I don't look at them ever. I've never seen them. The only one I saw was the Ritz Hotel, which had done one. And then I said, well, they owe me some rooms if they're doing my music and doing my moves.
Yeah,
but they never gave me the rooms.
I'm still not really. I know he said it. So actually, he didn't say self-conscious. The interviewer did. And he just said, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
I mean, he does have such a distinct style. And like, I can kind of get it. He might.
But he has to. He has to know that and know his style. Like, how is he being self-conscious?
It's a little quirky. It's a little silly. I like it personally. I enjoy his movies, but they are like those shots are over the top, and there's always the same few shots in every one of his movies. It's just his style, and there's nothing wrong with that.
At the end of this, he says his main reaction, quote, my main reaction is it's nice to have people getting inspired to do something from one of my movies.
Yeah.
Even though it's sometimes I would say that's not how I'd really do it.
Well, yeah, but you also, like, it's one of those things where people are just making a fun little thing. Like, they're not making a feature length film. They're not actually trying to steal your style.
I think that's why it's part of the reason he would. I actually sympathize with him. I would 100% understand. Like, I get this. I would be like, bruh, you're like boiling this down to the like, and I get that it's just like a fun joke, but I understand him being like, I don't want to watch this shit. Like, I don't want to watch someone trying to do me. Like, this is weird.
I thought some of them did a very good job.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying try to empathize with him. Put yourself in his shoes and understand him. Like, this is my entire career. I've literally dedicated 30 fucking years to crafting this style. And then there's like random people like doing these trends and it would feel weird.
Yeah, I get it. But it's also like, you know, it shows what kind of a cultural impact your films and your style has had. And like, I don't think that any of them are done with like ill intent either. I think they're quirky and fun like his films are.
No, I know. But I don't think he thinks they're done with ill intent either. It's like,
I know.
What's your craft? What do you like to make?
Highlight videos, I guess.
Okay. So
sports highlights.
If you had an art that you'd focused on, that you like spend a lot of time doing, and then someone else like took what you did and tried to imitate it back to you and was like, look, you're like, you'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Like, great. Like, that's why it's like, you know, if you make a song like and people record covers of it, you don't really want to listen to someone else's cover of your song. It's cool that it brought them joy and they did it for themselves. And that's cool. But like, it's weird because you're like, that's not how the song goes, though. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's not it. So I get where he's coming from. I think he's you know, he's totally valid in saying like, this is weird to me.
Yeah, you could tell he couldn't find a good way of saying it. He was clearly uncomfortable with the entire concept.
Yeah.
And this is not TikTok related, but he did have, there was one other question that I kept reading the article and they asked him if there's any actors that he's never worked with that he'd like to. And he said, Michael Cera. And I was like,
weird.
That is a very Wes Anderson, like he would fit in that.
Michael Cera definitely fits in the Wes Anderson world.
Yeah. I think it's weird that they haven't worked together.
Same.
That's bizarre. And you know what? He could probably get him, right? He can probably just go get him. Last article. Well, you had something about a premiere plug-in, right, Chris?
Yeah, this is just a quick little hit. So I've talked about Excalibur before. It's I think it's Knights of the Editing Table is the company. I really think it's just like one programmer who does all this, but he has Excalibur and Watchtower and Arrow. We've talked about those before and they're really nice plugins, but he has a new free plugin right now. It is called Portal and it's very simple. It's basically just a way to have like your Finder folders kind of natively in your Premiere project.
So like, they're almost like watch folders.
Yeah, basically you can just select certain folders to kind of have pinned up there, and it doesn't use Finder specifically. It uses like it's a plugin for Premiere, and that's what it is. But you can, you know, if you have your project, your assets, your graphics, whatever folders, you can just easily have them pinned.
It's everything's like mirrored almost.
So here's the thing. I haven't used it yet. It just got released last week, but they do have extensions for Premiere. I think they also have them for After Effects and Photoshop, and they all work slightly differently in all of them. But it just seems like a nice way to kind of speed up your workflow.
Hell yeah. This guy always makes a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And he always makes it free. It's very crazy.
Yeah. So, or like very cheap, like $15. So I'm going to give this a shot next week. I'm starting a new project tomorrow and I'll report back on it.
The last thing is that I was just reading this interview with this dude who named Mohammed El Monasterli. He's one of the editors on Welcome to Wrexham. And I was just kind of going through it just to kind of see what the process is like. And one thing that I thought was really interesting was about his day. They basically he told them that he works remotely on the show. They use Avid. It's a group of four editors and he works remotely on it. He said, I usually wake up at 5 a.m. So I just, to preface this, I was like, holy shit.
He had such a weird schedule.
This is what professional editors do.
I think this is just what this guy does.
Yeah, but that's a lot of time. Like, I would never want to put this much time into anything probably in my entire life. But he wants to wake up at 5. He wakes up at 5 a.m., meditates, prays, and then starts his first his first work session.
Yeah.
From 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. So that's 3 hours there. Then he goes to the gym from 8:30 to 9:30. Then at 10, he gets on their team call in the morning. Then he works again from 11 to 1. Then he takes a nap. Then he takes a walk. And then he does another edit session at the end of the day. And it's like, bro, what? That's called dedication.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy, though, because it sounds like he doesn't say how long his last editing session is. His first one's 3 hours. His second one is 2 hours. So I'm guessing the last one's two to three.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's working a pretty standard 7 to 8 hour day.
Yeah.
But the way he breaks it up, it becomes like a 12-hour day. And I know
he's
doing other stuff in there. And look, if that's they're probably going through so much footage for something like this that it probably helps to compartmentalize it and kind of break it up.
I don't think I could get anything done.
No.
If I had to break things up that much. Like for me, like I have to, my sessions, if I'm sitting to really work, it's like 5 hours. I have to sit and work for like 5 hours minimum.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder too, because he works on a team, what it's a total of four, or he's one of four.
He's one of four, yeah.
So I also wonder how that plays into like how he's editing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't know if they're kind of
he does discuss
back and forth. Like, I didn't read the article.
I thought it was really cool, actually, how he mentions that they work. Did you got a chance to read it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like, not to compare ourselves to them,
I was literally thinking the same thing,
but they work in a similar way to we do, where all four editors could be on the same show at the same time. They're all working on, or the same episode, I should say.
Yeah.
And they're all working on different scenes. This editor talks about how maybe one day he's building a scene, like he's starting it out and someone else is going to take it over. And another day he's taking over a scene that someone else has built. Mm-hmm. And he's doing finishing touches. So it sounds very fluid, and it's just kind of whatever the priority is, that's what he's going to do that mm-hmm. day. And they seem to work in a team really well. It's crazy that it's all remote as well.
That's the part that gets me.
Yeah.
So it must be, I don't know, Avid must be really good at that. I feel like,
yeah, I think that's why.
I mean, I guess maybe they just have like a team project and they all have a copy of the footage locally, right?
That sounds right.
But I mean it is a very like you said, he kind of turns like an 8 hour day into a 12 hour day.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I'm not an editor, so I don't know, but just a general workflow, I think it would be nice to be able to get a few things done, work a little bit, take another break, and like focus on other, you know, outside of work activities. Yeah. And then work some more.
His schedule
kind of
makes a lot more sense when you factor in that he works from home. Like,
yes.
if he did that at a fucking studio, I'd be like, no, absolutely
yeah, I
not.
Don't, I think that
That's
could only
point.
Work when you're working from home.
I didn't even really consider
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Cause that's why my days are like at least 5 hour chunks of editing at a time. Cause it's like, if I'm going to come here,
yeah,
I'm gonna fucking like stay here and do this shit.
Makes sense.
But I always find that like I also just get into a groove, and then I like to just push through and just like, you know, if I keep going, I'm more productive.
Yeah.
If I keep taking breaks,
you gotta get in that flow state.
Yeah. And maybe it's also different types of content. Like maybe he's gotta be a little more creative when he edits. For me, like when I talk about sitting for 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours at a time, it's because like it's very, you know, technical, and I know exactly what I need to do. So as long as I'm flowing, I'm like, cool, this goes here, this goes there, I know where that goes, I know where this goes. Whereas like creatively, I could see like work 2 hours, take a break, come back with fresh eyes, and you'll make different decisions. But if you're editing an interview between people talking about a computer, it's like, it's
just
not that hard.
Just power through it.
Yeah. All right. So we got through, speaking of power through, we powered through the rundown here, and we're left with one amazing segment that's coming up. It's been a while since we've done it. I think episode 107 or 109.
Like almost a year, I think.
Yeah, that was the last time. Yeah. And it was a Halloween edition. Mm-hmm. It was the spooky, haunted version of Amy's Game. Yeah. But it's always pretty haunted. It's Amy's Game.
Ooh. Do you want to play a game? All right, y'all. Welcome back.
Ooh.
Thanks for
Amy's
braving.
Game. Amy's Game always kind of trips me out, spooks me.
For so braving the segment.
I don't know anything about this game. I haven't been briefed yet, so
perfect.
I'm going in blind.
All right. So This is a game I think we've dubbed Who Said.
Oh, we're doing it?
We're doing it.
So, yes.
For the listeners,
I'm going to lose this game.
I scrubbed through various episodes and I picked out one quote. Some of them are full sentences. Some of them are just a little snippet of a conversation.
That's going to be
And I have a total of 10 quotes. And Alexi and Chris are going to discuss and determine and take a guess at who said what.
Okay. Jeez.
I think I'm just gonna now I will say
some stupid shit.
Range that this the episodes range from episode 5.
Oh no.
Up through 151.
Good. I love this.
So wow. It's all over the place. And I think to keep it extra interesting, I'm just gonna go in random order. Yeah, so you're not gonna know what episode this was, when it was, any context whatsoever.
I agree. I like that.
Do you have any questions before we begin?
Well, yeah. So we're competing, right? We're not
competing.
Like, we're not like talking to each other and agreeing on one.
Well, we can talk to each other and give our like thought process just to kind of make it more fun to listen to.
Yeah.
But at the end of our discussion, we each
pick.
Like we can both say Chris said it, or we can both say Alexi said it, or it could be different or whatever.
Yeah. But at the end of the game, I'm going to lose and Alexi's going to win, right?
Maybe. I do have one tiebreaker just in case we need it. And, you know, it's not so much, I think, for, of course, Alexi always has to make it about winning.
Yes, I know.
I know that, Chris, but yeah, I think it's more just like a fun thing to revisit and to see if you guys really do remember what the hell you say.
No, I don't think so. It's winning time, though. I'm Dr. Bus.
I black out every time I come in this studio.
I'm Dr. Bus and Chris is Gene.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
So the only options are me or Chris, right?
Yes. The only options are you or Chris.
Sure, you didn't throw any of the guests in there.
I didn't, because that would be extra confusing.
Well, maybe that's the next version of who said. Damn, I'm pumped. This is gonna be good.
I'm excited.
Are you ready?
I'm nervous.
I'm ready.
You're nervous.
I just don't want to hear the things that I've said.
Sure.
She's probably picked safe ones.
Right. Yeah, I didn't. I just picked something that like sounded an interesting soundbite. If you will.
No weird like Michael Jackson quotes or
like my.
We all know who said that.
Me not knowing that Anne Frank died. That kind of stuff.
No. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let us begin. Who said one of those motorized scooters that they put in the Publix that fat people use? Publix is a grocery store for all those people who aren't from Florida.
I feel like that's some shit I would say.
Yeah, that's tough. Because I can see myself saying that as well.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, you normally know the names of things, and I'm the one who always, if I don't know, I just start riffing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, I feel like that's some shit I would say. Also, I just say fat people a lot. Like, I don't really care about their feelings, no offense. I guess some offense.
Now, are we allowed to ask what episode it was from?
No. I don't think so, right?
Okay.
Because that, I mean, right?
You could if that will, I don't know it's how like, that's going to help you.
Did you write down the names of the episodes?
No, just the episode number.
I was going to say, like,
I mean, I
if
could.
You,
I just want to know out of curiosity how long it's been.
What if you can say the name of the episode, but not the number? If someone asks.
Oh.
Yeah. Because that way we'll
I feel like the name, well, the name would provide a lot of context.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If you want to know the episode.
Chris wants to know.
All right.
I'm just here to listen.
Chris, you wanted to know the episode that this came from?
Yeah. Can you use
from?
It in a sentence?
Probably. I'm going to tell you what the episode was. This is from episode 14 titled New Year's 4K Resolutions.
Oh, that's
featuring
a good title.
Our pal, Alan.
Oh, Alan. Yeah, he's been gone for a minute.
I'm going to go with Alexi.
I think
on
I said
one.
It as well. Yeah. I'm going to go with Alexi on this one as well.
Alexi.
This is actually my new, how I'm going to not lose. I'm just going to say whatever Alexi says.
No way. You got to pick first.
All right. Next up, we have who said the only B-roll that ever touches my timeline is like usable stuff.
Oh, that's 100% gotta be me.
Yeah.
Gotta be me, because what you always do is you just take it all and put it in the timeline.
Yeah, that's not how I edit at all. I go through all the footage and I pull my selects and And Alexi likes to click through the bin and just kind of do it through that.
Yeah, the first thing I do if I'm actually on a real project that I have to really organize my B-roll is I go through in the bins and watch every clip and write in the description field what it is.
Yeah.
And then from there, I look through what I wrote and pick what I want.
Yeah.
So the only B-roll touches my timeline.
Now,
usable shit.
Yeah. For me, I'm very, I'm visual with it, which I guess makes sense, but like, I like to have it all laid out and I want to look at it quickly and know what's where.
Yeah.
Now, do either of you remember saying any of these things?
I feel like I genuinely said that, because like I talk about that a lot on the show, where I think I've mentioned that like probably 5 or 6 times on the show, that I don't fuck with having a long ass B-roll string out, because it makes me like, it's overwhelming to me.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I always have the B-roll string out, so I'm going with Alexi as well.
I'm going with me on this one as well.
Okay.
I put plenty of unusable shit on my timeline.
Have you seen that?
I was going to say, trust me, I've seen the timelines.
Okay, let me pick my next one. All right, I got it. Who said, in a perfect world, we're just there to get the shots?
In a perfect world, we're just there to get the shots.
That sounds like something I might say.
I think that's probably you, because you were a photographer.
Yeah.
And so you probably were saying that in response to like, you know, your day to day or whatever.
And in a perfect world, we're just there to get the shots.
Oh, but it also could be me being like, you know, not wanting to contribute creatively on set and just being there to get a shot.
Yeah.
I still think it's you though. My gut is that you said it.
It feels like something I would say.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Chris on this one. In a perfect world, we're just there to get the shots. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think it's me. And I was talking about a bar.
Yeah, if you could recall like the context of...
That's what I... See, I'm trying to figure out...
If
we were talking
points,
about like my photographer past, or if we were talking maybe specifically about an MLS project, or if we were talking about talking about the documentary.
Yeah, I don't know. Have been talking
or
about
Treefort, even
could have been for me, like my thought was like it might be talking about, you know, perfect world clients or whatever, the way people treat you know, creativity or the role of decision making on set, stuff like that. But I think it's about your photography career. That's where I'm going to side. So I think it's you. I'm going with Chris on this one for me.
Yeah. Okay. I think it might have been for a project we were shooting, but I still think it was me.
So we're fully aligned.
Still aligned.
On all of these.
You guys know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have who said, I'm not a machine. Sometimes I act like one.
Alexi.
It's gotta be Chris. No way. Stop. No way. I think that's you, bro. You act like a machine. I got that fucking, that je ne sais quoi about me.
I'm gonna go with Alexi on this
one. I'm gonna go with Chris on this one. This is the first one where we're split. I know. I feel like that's a very you thing. You're always Googling.
Oh, I guess that's true. But see, I always call myself a monkey with a keyboard, though.
Yeah, fair enough.
So
I call you a machine sometimes.
Thanks.
So. I'm always like, Chris is a robot. All right. Well, this is good. I'm glad that we have the first one. Yeah. We're not.
Okay. So Alexi, you say Chris said
on
that.
This one, yeah.
And Chris, you say Alexi said it.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Who said your workspace has to be just perfect to get the most efficiency out of it?
Oh, I feel like neither of us would say that.
Yeah. I was like, that doesn't sound like...
This must be an early episode where we were still trying to be like helpful and realistic.
Can you repeat it?
Your workspace has to be just perfect to get the most efficiency out of it.
I wonder if we're talking about the actual... like physical desk, or if we're talking about workspaces within Premiere. Well,
probably workspace within Premiere. That's a good point.
I think I might have said it then.
I would also go with you on this one. I feel like, I don't know. Actually, I think I could have said this.
Because I know I get really picky with my workspace, because every time I reset to my saved layout, it's always just a little bit wrong. I don't know why Premiere won't remember it, but it's always like one of them is sized wrong, or it doesn't it's in the wrong spot, and then you have to play around trying to get it where you want it to go. I think I said it.
One more time. Can you say it one more time?
Yes, I can.
I'm looking for the small imperfections in the speech to see who it could be.
Your workspace has to be just perfect to get the most efficiency out of it.
That's a Chris thing. I wouldn't say just perfect.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like the way I would phrase it, but
I think it's a Chris thing.
I think I said it.
I'm going Chris as well on this.
Okay, Chris across the board here. Next up, who said, to me, it's like all of the different arts combined.
Oh,
me.
Easy,
it's
Chris.
Acting.
It's easy,
me.
Chris. That's
me.
That's a Chrisism forever.
Yeah. Wow, I've been saying that
for like 15 years.
I literally was talking to a friend of the show, Seth, about that last night. Because he was talking about, we were talking about filmmaking and music and art and stuff. And he literally said something along those lines. I was like, that's a Chrisism. That's
true.
Literally what Chris believes.
That's how I got into the Costa Rica trip. I'm pretty sure that was my interview answer.
Do you want to know the rest of what you said?
Yes.
Or do you? Okay.
Yes.
To me, it's like all of the different arts combined. It's acting, it's choreography, it's music, it's editing. If there's an art, then it's probably in a film.
Yeah, that's me.
And here's here's a little hack to win this game if you really want to. Just say what she said back to her, then technically you said it on the show.
All right, we have 4 quotes left.
Okay.
And we're all aligned on every single one but one right now. It's basically comes down to that one, right?
Yes.
Now.
Yep. Who said, it's a frustrating, inefficient workflow, but that's what post is. That's what editing is. It's fixing all the mistakes that production made.
Either one of us.
Yeah.
I feel like either one of us. I feel like that's me though.
I'm going with Alexi.
I frustrating and inefficient are like adjectives I would use.
Yeah. That sounds like Alexi to me.
I'm going to go with me on that one as well.
Okay.
Sorry. This turned into like the most boring segment because we're just agreeing with each other all the
time. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. We're playing to win. You play to win the game.
That's true. That's true.
You know, it is what
well,
it is.
We have that one.
That one. That the showdown. One.
Okay. We have 3 more. Who said it becomes a giant race to the bottom, like almost everything under capitalism?
Alexi.
I think me.
Yeah, I think it was Alexi.
I think me. But you know what? I could see.
That's the thing is we agree. We're aligned with that.
But I could see you like saying it in response later during a bigger conversation.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
I'm going to go with me, though. I'm with you. I agree with you. I'm going to say me.
All right, we got 2 left. Who said, leave me behind, I don't need to be involved in that, I'm good, just put me out to pasture?
Chris, 100% Chris. Put me out to pasture.
That's such a funny quote.
I don't know if that's in my vocabulary.
Put me out to pasture.
I think Alexi said it. I'm curious to know what. Can you say the name of the episode it was from? You don't have to say the number. I just want to know the name.
The name of the.
I'm wondering what that was in response to.
The name of the episode is Cameraless Production Plus First B&H Experience.
Oh, this was just recently. This was like last month.
Oh, wow.
This is can you read the quote again? I just love how the quote like says the same thing like 3 times in a row.
Leave me behind, I don't need to be involved in that, I'm good, just put me out to pasture.
I think Alexi said it, honestly.
I give it to Chris. I think it's hilarious. It's the best quote so far.
All right. Well, you haven't heard this one yet.
Uh-oh.
All right. This is our 10th and final quote of this segment of who said I don't even really eat Reese's Puffs as a cereal that often.
Ooh, peanut butter chocolate flavor. Me.
Peanut butter chocolate great when separate, but when they combine they make the morning time
epic. I think it's me. I think I said that because I really don't eat them that much. I don't even really eat cereal anymore, but I you know, a year ago things were different, I guess.
You know, I never eat Reese's Puffs. So say it again.
I don't even really eat Reese's Puffs as a cereal that often.
You know what? I think actually this is you, because I think this is coming from when there was like some episode we did where I know we've referenced Reese's Puffs, but there was one where we like definitely talked about Reese's Puffs, that commercial.
Yeah,
for some
we
reason.
Talked about the commercial. What's the name of the episode?
Do you know by any chance?
I do. The name of that episode.
Was this the one like Thanksgiving Dunch?
What?
That was an early one.
The first annual Sizzlies.
Oh, this was during the Sizzlies.
We did the Sizzlies? I don't even remember the Sizzlies.
We gave out awards, and one of them was for... This was one of the cat candidates. It was like best sound effect we used or something like that. I don't even fucking know.
I'm going to go with Alexi.
I'm going with Chris on this one because I feel like Chris is the one who is hung up on Reese's Puffs.
I do think about Reese's Puffs a lot, and I don't really even eat it as a cereal. That
there it is. It happens.
I don't ever eat it, is the main thing.
I'm curious to.
So
to
I'm know surprised I would say
okay,
that
so
often.
What's your answer?
I want Chris.
I went Alexi.
Okay. All right. So I don't know if we need a tiebreaker because you did have...
You had three different ones.
You had three different ones.
Not gonna happen.
Tiebreaker is not going to happen.
But we can do the tiebreaker later for fun tally the...
Tally-ho.
Yeah, sorry. I should have been tallying I went.
This was a cool one. I think what would be even cooler is to add the third option of guests next time we play.
Ooh.
And then that way,
that's going to be
really, just...
really confusing because then we'll be like, you know, was it Chris, Alexi, or guest?
Oh. You know? Do we have to name the guest or just say guest?
No, I think that'd be way too... That could be a bonus point.
Okay.
You know? For bonus point, you can name who the guest was.
Well, if they start talking about moving from two different war-torn countries, I know that's the guest.
Yes, I don't remember his name, but yes.
I don't either.
That guy. He was cool, though. Cool guy.
That's an interesting episode.
That was the summer of attempting to... Well, it wasn't even summer. It was like a month, but it was like a month of attempting to actually get a little professional about it.
We did a good job.
Being like, this is way too much work. I'm not gonna fucking do this.
Yeah, we were too stupid for this. I still, having Lamptey win, he was awesome. I really liked him.
He was awesome.
He had a good time.
How are we doing on the tally, Ames?
Well, I think we might need the tiebreaker.
Why don't you go through the ones that you read and tell us who settled.
Sure. All right, so the first one I read is one of those motorized scooters that they put in Publix that fat people use. Publix is a grocery store for all those people who aren't from fucking Florida.
Yes. Yeah.
And you both guessed Alexi.
Yep.
You were both correct. Alexi said that in episode 14.
Wow. Classic.
Next up, we had the only B-roll that ever touches my timeline is like usable stuff. You both guessed Alexi. You are both correct.
Hey.
What was the episode for that?
Episode 120. I don't know what the name is.
Here, I can look it up because I have episodes.
Okay, episode 120.
Here. Episode 120. Non-competes are bad, auditing our expenses, and Chris versus Chris Nolan.
Oh. Yeah.
Chris versus Chris. All right. Next up, we have in a perfect world, we're just there to get the shots. You guys kind of went back and forth on this one. You both landed on Chris. That was the correct answer.
I'm really landed on myself. No, I'm not okay. I'm inside out.
You both landed on Chris. That was the correct answer. So far,
what,
3-for-3.
That was episode
81, a pretty uninformed NAB 2022 preview.
Okay. All right. Pretty uninformed as usual.
Yeah.
All right. Then we had I'm not a machine. Sometimes I act like one. That was from episode 5, editor archetypes and the 10 edit commandments.
Wow. Episode 5. There weren't even notes at that point.
That was a Frame.io article that we went through. I'm pretty sure.
So Alexi is the one that said that. Chris, you guessed Alexi. Alexi, you guessed Chris.
Damn.
So Chris gets a point for that one.
I'm a monkey. You're a machine.
This is kind of when we actually had, I'm looking at the notes here that I take. This is when we had more notes. This is when I would like take notes as the episode went on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And post that as show notes.
Yeah.
Don't do anymore. All right. The next quote was, your workspace has to be just perfect to get the most efficiency out of it. A lot of debate on which workspace you were talking about. I believe that was from episode 35, The Shape of Red Lobsters to Come. Great episode name. And you both guessed Chris, which would be incorrect. Alexi is the one who said that.
Did I say that? Yeah, geez.
Apparently you did.
Wild. And we had the Red Lobster contest winner join us on that one.
Was that
probably
Ben?
Probably Ben. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to re-record the whole episode.
Yeah, why?
Oh, because somebody didn't record.
Someone's mic was off for the second half or something.
Was that one that I fucked up?
Yeah, or maybe that was the following week. I don't remember, but
Well, either way.
All right. So far, only Chris has a point because you've gotten the same on both on all of them.
Okay.
All right. Next up, to me, it's like all of the different arts combined. It's acting, it's choreography, it's music, it's editing. If there's an art, then it's probably in a film. You both nailed it. That was Chris. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was a Chris-ism. Yes. So yep. That was an easy one.
Yeah, that one's probably from every episode. He says it once an episode.
I say it in my sleep.
That was from episode 143. First camera follies, favorite parts of filmmaking, and our black magic cameras actually the best. I mean, that was in June. Is that super recent?
That seems recent.
Okay. We next have, it's a frustrating, inefficient workflow, but that's what post is. That's what editing is. It's fixing all the mistakes that production made. You both said Alexi.
Yep.
And that was actually a Chris quote.
Wow.
That was actually surprising. A Chris quote.
I was pretty sure that that was me.
I thought that was you. Just because how aggressive you were saying like the mistakes that production makes.
I know.
Because I'm usually a little bit more forgiving because I've been on that side.
That was from episode 55. This was 2021.
During some time when like something happened where you were like, fuck this.
Yeah. $1 billion, oh dear, is the.
Yeah, it says Chris and Alexi talk why the fuck a $1 billion movie exists. Efficiency in the edit and Zombie by the Cranberries.
Zombie.
So I don't know what that episode's about because that's terrible show notes.
Okay. And now we have, it becomes a giant race to the bottom, like almost everything under capitalism. That was from episode 138. Rome is burning. Will SAG join the strike? They did. Spoiler. And you both said Alexi. That was actually Chris.
Wow.
Again.
What was the quote again?
It becomes a giant race to the bottom, like almost everything under capitalism.
Unbelievable. Wow. So that's probably what happened was the we got rolling and then you just like went for it as well.
Yep.
Damn.
Yep.
I mean, I kind of like Chris actually, I didn't listen to the whole episode, but I listened to a bit before and that was a genuine Chris quote.
Wow. Wow. Every once in a while, I just take out the establishment, I guess.
Yeah, all right. Dude. The next two are going to determine who wins because you both had different answers.
Uh-oh.
Leave me behind. I don't need to be involved in that. I'm good. Just put me out to pasture. I believe you said that was Alexi.
I said it was Alexi.
And you said it was Chris.
Yeah.
So that...
What episodes?
This was episode 151. So another recent one.
That was recent.
Which I'm surprised you guys were...
That was our B&H trip, right?
No, that was...
That was camera-less production. First B&H experience.
Jeez.
Alexi did say that.
Yeah.
So Chris, you get the point there.
All right.
You won.
That was actually a funny
wow.
That was a funny moment in the show.
Thank
I
you,
liked
actually.
That,
that was actually one
no,
of the
No, you were very
moments.
Passionate when you said it. You were like, yeah. Leave me behind. I don't need to be involved in that. I thought that
was
very
about?
Much
Do you know
an
what
obvious
it was about?
Something to do with like being on set, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that makes sense. Logan, it's something that could have been Logan Paul, too. I don't know. We talked about Logan Paul in that episode.
All right. Last quote of this game. I don't even really eat Reese's Puffs as a cereal that often. And Chris, you said it was Alexi. Alexi, you said it was Chris.
Of course.
And you get the point for that one because it was Chris.
Wow. He's a Reese's Puff stan.
Unfortunately.
2-1. He got me.
2-1.
What episode?
Again? That was episode 117. 117. You were talking about the Reese's Puff song. Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
And that was the first annual Sizzlies.
Yeah, the Sizzlies.
And...
God, Sizzlies
you,
is good.
You, I don't know why back. You said it, but you said that you don't eat it that often. Then you mentioned that they had a wandering barman... event and you were like snacking
oh,
on
oh that's
Reese's
right
because
remember oh. They had some event there that they rented it
you
out
you got and like a bag of
ben
Reese's
gave
Puffs.
Us a bunch of Reese's Puffs
what's yeah. Why did I phrase it that often? I literally haven't had it in a decade. I
that's why,
have it as a
that's
cereal
why when
that
you were
often.
When you were like going through this whole conversation I'm cracking up because I'm like Chris is the one that said this
like why would I say that
I mean I'm pretty you're
excited.
Not wrong you haven't
I don't have it that, often.
Had it that often
I will say this is a great time for me to mention that the second annual Sizzlies are coming up this December so if you have any categories you want us to talk about at the Sizzlies 332-333-4361 call in, text in, because we're right now starting the writing. We're not part of the union, so we can write. We're writing. We're writing the Sizzly starting now until December. So
it's gonna be a big production.
Yeah,
we're gonna improve the website even more.
Yep.
In honor of it,
we might put like a rotating Sizzly trophy on there and. You know, Amy might host, honestly.
You know how
Jimmy Kimmel hosts the Sizzlies?
Amy's
going to host the Sizzlies.
Maybe we can pay Sarah Silverman $5,000 to host for 20 minutes.
Host the Sizzlies for 20 minutes. We just write like all these lines for her to say so we can clip them.
That's so funny.
Well, fucking hell. I mean,
that was a fun game.
It was my first victory on the show ever.
Congratulations, Chris.
Oh, my God.
It was really funny to watch you guys not know something that you said.
We missed half of them.
I think I learned a lot though. Like, I think the next time will be much better because now I kind of understand it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was hilarious for you guys to be like, that was definitely Alexi. That's something I would say, and it was Chris.
So we're similar people. We have a lot of similar.
Well, that was like
views.
Really fun. Yeah. The one about capitalism. I was like, I have to put this in because they're not gonna know who said it because
it could be anyone.
You both have the same.
Maybe it could have been you for all we knew.
Could have been me.
Out of curiosity, what's the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker was who said, and this is a guess. This was not either of you.
Oh.
Who said,
this is good.
You kept in 8 jokes when you maybe should have kept in 2. You don't want that.
I think
Joe
it was
Nana.
I think it was Lamb T. Win.
You kept in 8 jokes when you should have kept in 2.
When you maybe should have kept in 2. You don't want that.
We were talking about the movie Emergency that he edited, and it's kind of like a funny movie.
Oh, that movie was so good.
But it's also kind of like a suspenseful movie. So if I had to guess, I would say we were talking about, I remember asking him a question about kind of playing the suspense against the comedy and like trying to know, you know,
how to balance it
exactly and when to hit those beats.
Yeah,
so that's my guess.
Interesting. I guessed it was Joe Nana just because you know, 8 jokes but should have kept in 2 because 6 of them suck or
six
something.
Of them suck. That's actually a good guess.
Well, you were both wrong. And damn. I tried to make this easy and pick something from a recent episode. This was from your August 21st episode 150, Chris versus Brian Mann.
I thought maybe
Joe Nana was involved in that.
Well, but Brian Mann did say he was the one that said it.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy, that Brian Mann.
Brian's pretty smart.
Inventor of Power Bar. That's him. I think, Amy, thank you for putting the game together. Thanks for having me. The next one we do, we should add that guest thing in as an obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this was definitely a trial run, so thank you, listeners, for keeping up with us as we work this out. But I think the next one's going to be like really good.
Yeah, that was dope. I loved it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I honestly might swipe this segment and bring it on to Calling All Casuals between you, Jordy, and Eric somehow. But it'll be harder, but I'll be able to make it happen. All right, well, let's move on to everyone's favorite, what we learned last week. What we learned
last week.
All right, I learned, so you know the song Scatman by Scatman John?
Yes. Thank you for the performance.
Yeah. I learned that he got into scat because he had a stutter, and I think he had it throughout his entire adult life, but I never actually listened to the lyrics of the song because half of them are gibberish, but he has a couple stanzas that says, everybody stutters one way or the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, so can you. Everyone's saying that the scat man stutters but doesn't ever stutter when he sings, but what you don't know, I'm going to tell you now, that the stutter and the scat is the same thing. So it's kind of like, I didn't realize that the whole song is kind of about his struggle with the stutter.
Stutter empowerment anthem.
Yeah, basically. But I thought that was cool.
I love that. The scat man with the stutter empowerment anthem.
R.I.P.
I'll go real quick because mine's very, very quick. NIL, you know what NIL is? It's like where the
name,
players,
image, and likeness.
The players can take money now in college.
Right, right, right.
I understood that they were getting it because their name, image, and likeness were being used. I thought NIL was like an organization, because you know how they have so many organizations. Like SEC, ACC. I was like, great, now there's an NIL that they'll have to join or some shit to get money. No, it means name, image, and likeness.
That's
like, it literally took me until last week to figure that out. I was like, oh,
that's hilarious.
Ridiculous. I'm dumb as hell. Amy,
I learned that honeybees go through this period called a dearth, which I never knew because I don't know much about bees. But I learned this on Governor's Island. They have an urban farm there, which is really cool. And they also have a couple of beehives, and like it's a bee conservatory. And they have a little sign, meet the bees. And I was so excited because I love honeybees. They're so cute. So I was excited to meet the bees. But then I was talking to the people that work there and they were like, yeah, this is the dearth period. So there's really not that many bees out of the hive. And I guess what that means is it's like a nectar shortage when there, it's kind of like a changing of the seasons. And so a lot of the plants dry up. So the bees aren't really very active. So,
so they're hibernating.
Whoa.
I didn't realize that's where dearth came from. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I just knew it as a word that meant shortage. I didn't realize it was bee based.
I mean, I don't know if that's just, I don't know if it came, if it's because of the bees, but I was sad because there, I did see a few. I met a few bees, but I need to go back not during the dearth period.
Yeah, you got to go back early in the summer, right?
Yeah, is that when it totally makes sense.
They got hella honey out there in that hoe.
Yeah. Ooh.
All the honey. Amy, thank you for joining us today. Where can the people find you? Anything you want to plug before we close the show up?
You know, I'll go ahead and plug our other podcast, Calling All Casuals. You can hear me every week, and Alexi and Eric and Jordan. Yeah, check us out. Calling All Casuals.
Sometimes.
And producer Chris joins us from time to time.
Sometimes we'll call him in if we need a hint on on a question or something like that.
That I'll get wrong.
Yeah. All right, Krusty, can you go ahead and let the people know the social plugs when we get the letter?
We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. Send us an email. We are sizzlereelgangthewebsite.com. Why do we have so much shit? Why do we have so much shit, guys?
Nobody contacts us.
This whole show is supposed to be just a pilot, like a trial run to figure out how things work. That's why we have all of it. So if any other show needs it in the future, we know how to do it.
Most importantly, we have the Sizzle Reel cold line.
Brr.
That is 332-333-4361.
Call in, text in, let us know about like how you feel about Wes Anderson TikTok trend. Like, are you with Wes? Or hashtag it, I'm with Wes. Tell us about the celebrity auction. Who would you want to walk your dog? Tell us about, you know, what your favorite Premiere plugin is, or don't. That's actually kind of boring.
Yeah,
we're good. Leave a crazy voicemail saying some weird phrase for Amy to use on her next game. Just call in, please. We beg you. We urge you.
Please.
All right. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
See ya.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.